Hello to my CA family and welcome to any visitors or guests. My name is Ralph. I'm one of the pastors on our staff. As you're probably aware, this week in Atlanta, 8 people were shot and killed. The shooting is still under investigation, but even before we know the outcome, we do know that there are 8 families out there who are grieving. We also know that because 6 of the 8 victims were of Asian descent, Asian Americans across the country, as well as many in our church, are experiencing a heightened sense of fear, anxiety, or despair. Scripture tells us that when one suffers in the body of Christ, we all suffer. So we thought that it was right and appropriate that we would pray. Would you join me? Father God, we lift the 8 families who have experienced this loss before you. And Father, we pray that you would bring comfort and draw close to them in their grief. Father, we also lift before you the Asian American community and all those in our church of Asian descent, Lord. And we pray that you would bring them peace and hide them under the shadow of your wings. And Father, Scripture also tells us that we war not against flesh and blood. So we lift the one who was used by the thief to kill, steal, and destroy. We lift him before you, Father, and pray that he would come to Jesus, even as we have come to Jesus. And Father God, lastly, we pray for our country. We pray that you would bring peace and calm and unity in a way that only you can do, Lord, through the working of your Holy Spirit. Thank you for hearing our prayers, Lord. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Thank you for praying with me, and now let's turn to worship.
Well, welcome everybody. I want to thank you for joining us today, Christian Assembly. My name's Alex, and I want to invite you, to challenge you to come and worship our God today, the God who is creator, redeemer, renewer, rewarder, restorer. We worship our God. We bless you today, oh God, wherever we're at. We join the chorus of heaven and we sing, "All creatures of our God and King." Let's sing.
All creatures of our God and King, lift up your voice and with us sing. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thou burning sun with golden beam, thou silver moon with softer gleam. Oh, praise him, oh, praise him. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Rushing wind that art so strong, the clouds that sail in heaven along. Oh, praise him, hallelujah. Thou rising morning, praise me, joy. He lights of evening, find a voice. Oh, praise him, oh, praise him. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Take it up. We're going to sing, "Let all things their creator bless."
Let all things their creator bless. And worship him in humbleness. Oh, praise him. Hallelujah. Praise, praise the Father, praise the Son. And praise the Spirit, big and one.
Together we sing, "Oh, praise him, hallelujah."
Oh, praise him, hallelujah. Oh, praise him, hallelujah.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Son, and Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
All right, let's sing, we'll praise Him. Hallelujah.
Good and kindreds grow, His God's truth abideth still. His kingdom is forever.
We do, we do. We celebrate today that your kingdom endures forever and forever. You are the God of ages past. You are the Ancient of Days. So we cling today to your promises, to the truth of your word, O God. Come be near us, with us. Open our eyes to your presence, to your faithfulness, to your goodness, to know that you are better than we could ever imagine, that you are more near than we could ever hope, that you are more faithful than our hearts could ever desire. So we lift our eyes to you today, the maker of heaven and earth and all that is. You know, the hymns are so incredible because the depth of every verse. When you have the time again, I want you to go back and listen to all the truth that we've sung together thus far. And we both celebrate, and in the Bible says that in his presence there's fullness of joy. So we experience joy together. But there's also a holy fear that the Bible talks about. When people in the Bible have experiences with God, there's a sense of dread that overcomes them because God is so utterly holy. He's so unlike anything we could ever imagine. And so we also worship our God in humbleness, in humility, and in fear. In fact, the book of Proverbs says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So with our whole hearts, we come and offer our lives as a living sacrifice once again as we worship you with fear and trembling. Josh is going to sing it.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, life, hope, blessing and joy. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So let us worship, let us bow down, let us fear our God.
Let's all sing together, the fear of the Lord.
The Lord is the beginning of wisdom, life, hope, meaning, and joy. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
So let us,
worship. Let us bow.
Spanish. El temor de Dios.
El temor de Dios es el comienzo de vida, paz, fe, sabiduría. Hey.
us fear our God, let us fear our God. Oh, we fear you, Lord, we fear you, Lord. Josh.
With our whole heart, we will thank you. We will praise you.
Can you believe Easter is just around the corner?
We are excited to celebrate the risen King with you.
On Saturday, April 3rd at 5 p.m.,
we invite you,
your family and friends,
in person, outdoors,
with safety guidelines at Village Christian School
or online. Our weekend service and our Kids Church program will be available on our website and our socials starting at
5 p.m. on April 3rd.
So whether it's online or in person,
we hope you will join us as we celebrate with great music
and a message of hope.
Welcome, everyone. I'm so glad you're with us today, and a special welcome to any guests or visitors. Easter weekend is around the corner, and we will have our Easter services on Saturday, April 3rd at 5 p.m., both outdoors at Village Christian and online. Invite your family and friends to join us. Check our social media for posts and invitations to share digitally. Kids Church is having a special online Easter program available at the same time as the adult online services. Also, an important note for our outdoor service at Village Christian School. Starting the week after Easter, our outdoor service is moving from Saturdays to Sundays at 10:30 a.m. Yes, that's right. Sunday morning services in the beautiful outdoors. Village Christian School will be using the football field on Saturdays more frequently, so we've been invited to use the field on Sunday mornings instead. Mark your calendars for Sunday, April 11th at 10:30 a.m. That's in 3 weeks, if you'd like to join us outdoors. If needed, you can check our website or app for dates and times. Our online service will still be available on Saturdays at 5 p.m. You can give online through our Christian Assembly LA app or our website by clicking on the Give tab. And as always, thank you for your generosity. It's a Kingdom weekend, so let's hear from Scott Quay and one of our Kingdom partners for the update this month.
Hey, church family, great to be with you on this Kingdom weekend, where we take time once a month to highlight what God's doing through our Kingdom value as a church as we follow Him on mission. You know, when we think about the life of Jesus and His disciples, we see that the mission encompasses both proclaiming the good news of the gospel as well as demonstrating it with tangible acts of compassion and justice. This weekend, we get to highlight what this looks like in the Philippines through our Kingdom partners, Carlos and Edna Lustre with Breakthrough Ministries. I've been blown away by how they've been responding to the needs of the community throughout the pandemic, as well as providing relief after Typhoon Ulysses. They've been able to share the gospel as well as care for people in their time of need in a remarkable way. Let's check out their update together.
Warmest greetings from the Philippines. I am Pastor Carlos of Breakthrough.
2020 was a difficult yet challenging year for us at Breakthrough. Last March 16, 2020, the Philippine government declared a nationwide lockdown due to the COVID-19 viral pandemic. On November 2020, Typhoon Ulysses hit the Philippines. The typhoon devastated so many provinces, including Metro Manila. 3 of the 10 outreach areas of Breakthrough were worst hit by the typhoon, destroying their homes and left thousands of families homeless. Breakthrough responded immediately by providing food and clothing to the people. We immediately organized a kitchen crew that fed 300 people in Cumana. We gave out about 200 relief packages and 2,600 new undergarments within the first week. Your donation helped us to give 400 more relief packages, which included half sacks of rice, and served 8,600 meals for 43 days. Every day, members of the church overcame their fear of COVID-19 and helped in distributing food. Children, including their parents, fell in line to receive their meals. 75 families were given construction materials to rebuild their homes. For 2 months, the Breakthrough helped the families affected by the flood, brought in 400 new families into the Kingdom. These communities were difficult to penetrate as most of the residents are close to the gospel, but the acts of kindness and commitment of church members to go every day to distribute cooked food, grocery packages, and several deliveries of truckloads of construction materials softened the heart of the people, especially the fathers. Unemployed, the fathers banded together when they were encouraged to be part of a livelihood program making concrete hollow blocks. They volunteered to work to get their hollow blocks for free. They are now selling the hollow blocks, another source of income. Winning their trust and friendship made them interested to know God. They asked why they were treated so kindly. They said that for the first time in their lives, there are people who are now seeing them for their value and took time to sit down and listen to them. There is a growing hunger for the Word of God and fellowship. We now have more Bible studies in these communities. Many of the fathers are now active, even inviting others to hear the gospel. We want to thank you, CA, for your support, prayers. Praise the Lord.
What a beautiful picture of what the kingdom of God looks like. It's so heartbreaking to see what so many people had to go through in the midst of all the devastation in the Philippines. But to see the church there respond so quickly, to not simply think of their own needs, but to extend themselves every day for the needs of others. As Breakthrough was caring for people, the question was asked, why are you responding with such kindness? And they were able to respond with why. It's because of the love and compassion of Jesus. Isaiah 58:10 says, "Feed the hungry and help those in trouble. Then your light will shine out from darkness, and your darkness around you will be as bright as noon. I'm so thankful that we can be a part of putting the light of Christ on display throughout the relief efforts as a church. Because of our giving to the kingdom offering, we were able to give $15,000 towards this relief effort in December of last year. It's so amazing how many people have been impacted because of these efforts on the ground. And on the local side, we're putting on an outreach event for about 40 kids at Hope Gardens on April 10th. Hope Gardens is a ministry of Union Rescue Mission to help women and children experiencing homelessness with transitional housing, rehabilitation, and spiritual care. You can find more information on our website if you're interested. I want to thank each of you for how we're linking arms together in God's mission. One of the ways that we do that is through our giving to the kingdom offering, which supports all of our kingdom efforts that reach out both locally and globally. You can give online or on our CA app and make sure to select the kingdom offering tab. Let's continue to extend ourselves for the sake of others, knowing the love of Christ. Thanks again for your generosity and prayers. Now let's continue in worship as we hear today's message.
Hey, welcome everybody. Whether you are a visitor, guest, or a longtime part of our Christian Assembly family, I'm so honored that you are here with us. My name is Tom, for those of you who might not know me. A 2011 study tracked the top temptations that Americans say that they face. What do you think that we Americans believe to be our biggest temptation? All right, I want you to think about it. Got your guess in your mind? All right, so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give us the top five answers in reverse order, okay? So top five answers, reverse order. 24% said the top temptation they face is being bitter or jealous or envious of others, right? So a quarter of all Americans say that's their biggest temptation. 35% said that they are tempted to spend more than they can afford. Right? So that's fairly common. 44% of us said wasting too much time on media or social media. 55% said their top temptation is eating too much food. And the number one temptation Americans said, 60% said they spend too much time worrying. But it's interesting because the study went further. When asked the follow-up question of why they give in to their temptation, one out of two, the highest answer said, I'm not really sure why I give in to temptation. But then when it went further and said, it asked this question, do you try to do anything specific to avoid giving in to temptation? A full 2/3 of Americans said, no, I don't try to do anything specific. Not certain why we give in, with no plan to avoid giving in to the things that we know are destructive to ourselves and to others around us, is not the way God wants us to live. So let's jump in to the final week of our series, asking God to teach us life lessons from Jesus' time in the wilderness so that we can see both the good news that Jesus passed the test, but also be equipped for our own time in our own wildernesses too. So we're going to consider all that, but before we do, let's pray. So God, we thank you for your word, and we do not live by bread alone, but we live from your word. So would you speak your word of life to us? Equip us for our times of temptation, but also, Lord, strengthen us, we pray. Whatever our temptation is that we face, I pray, Lord, that through your word and by your spirit, you would equip us to be victorious this week, this month, in Jesus' name. Well, we pick up the story of the final of the three temptations of Jesus in the wilderness, and we pick it up in Matthew chapter 4, verse 8. This is what it says. Next, the devil took Jesus to the peak of a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. I'll give it all to you, Satan said, if you kneel down and worship me. Get out of here, Satan, Jesus told him. For the scriptures say you must worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then the devil went away and angels came and took care of Jesus. Well, in week one of this series, we answered the question, why does God allow tests to come our way in life? Week two of the series, last week, we answered the question, how can I resist the devil in my own times of temptation? This week, I want to give us three foundational principles from this passage that will help us when it comes to our own spiritual battles. I'm going to give them to us using three H words to help us remember each of them. The first one is this. We need to be humble because Satan is real and strong. Now, how's that for a depressing first point, right? The reality and strength of Satan. This passage is just one of many throughout the scriptures that make it clear that the devil is a real entity that is dead set against God's plan, good plan for us. Now, when I say that the devil is real, I'm not talking about the guy from the cartoons who wears a red suit and has a pitchfork in his hand. Likewise, if I told you that mice are real, I would not be talking about the mouse named Mickey from the cartoons that wears the red pants and the big yellow shoes. Just like we don't take our understanding of the animal kingdom from cartoons, neither do we want to take our understanding of theology from cartoons, right? Biblically, Satan is a fallen angel who chose rebellion against God. In fact, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 11:14, even Satan can disguise himself as an angel of light. Now, all the way back in the beginning in Genesis, Satan disguised himself as a certain serpent to tempt Adam and Eve. They gave in to the temptation to sin, to rebel against God's good plan for them. And as a result, all sorts of evil is ushered into their and then subsequently our experience. In fact, after his time in the wilderness, speaking in terms of Satan's power in relationship to people, Jesus refers to Satan as the strong man. Now, you might be thinking, well, Tom, look, and does it really matter in my everyday life if I believe that the devil is real or not? But remember what we already saw, that one half of all Americans said, I don't really know why I give in to temptations that I know are wrong. Part of that is because the quickest way to lose a battle is to not believe that you're in one. But also, if you don't believe that the devil is real and strong, then some person or group of people will become your ultimate enemy. See, when I believe what God's word teaches, then it frees me to see both myself and others in the light of the ongoing spiritual battle around us. I understand then that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So now, no person or even group of people is my ultimate enemy. And then I am empowered and freed up to love people better. Some might say, well, Tom, look, I don't believe in a spiritual battle going on around me because I only believe in what I can see. But that's not really true either. Most of us believe in gravity even though we cannot see gravity. And someone might counter and say, yeah, but Tom, I mean, just honestly, I can see the effects of gravity. That's why I believe in gravity. But likewise, I would say we can see the effects of the spiritual battle all around us in ways that are so self-evident, I don't even need to list them all for us. So we're in a real battle with a real enemy who is really quite strong. And that's pretty depressing because on our own, we have and we will lose the battle against Satan, but God. And I love that phrase because there's a lot of hope in that phrase. There's a lot of holy defiance in that phrase, a lot of seeds of faith in that phrase, a lot of water to our soul. But God has not left us on our own. The second thing we see from this passage is that we can be hopeful. So first, we can be humble. Now we can be hopeful because Jesus is in the serpent crushing business. The high school I went to was renowned for growing some huge dudes in this high school. And unfortunately, I must have missed class that day because the huge gene kind of passed over me. But for example, when I was in high school, the USA Today ranked my high school as the number one football team in the nation when I was there. Our high school offensive line averaged over 300 pounds per lineman in high school. Aaron Donald, the 2020 NFL Defensive Player of the Year who plays for the Rams, he graduated from the same high school as me. Just to give you some context. Now, growing up, there was a bully in my school named Frankie. And Frankie was older than me, older than most of my friends, and he was bigger and stronger than all of us, probably all of us combined. But the key word that I said is that he was bigger and stronger than most of my friends. I had another friend who was older than me. His name was Vernon Stanfield. Vernon was one of the biggest and strongest and best athletes in our school at the time. His muscles had muscles. He was able to dunk a basketball launching from the foul line. He was an amazing athlete. So Vernon found out that Frankie was threatening and causing some trouble for some of my friends and myself. So one day he walked up to Frankie in the halls of the school and he said, "Frankie, listen, I want you to know that I'm on their side. Now you might throw the first punch, but I guarantee you I will throw the last one." Sometimes it pays to have the right man on your side when you face a battle. In fact, there's an old hymn of the church called "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God" that says, "Did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. We're not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. Do you ask who that may be? Christ Jesus, it is he. Lord Sabaoth," that means the Lord of heaven's armies, "Lord Sabaoth, his name, from age to age the same, and he must win the battle." In Genesis, the serpent tempts people to doubt God's goodness, God's plan, and God's word. You know, the enemy always wants to convince you that you're missing out if you trust God. Let me ask you, where do you feel like you're missing out if you trust God and make him number one in your life? Where do you feel like maybe you're missing out and how you use your time and spend it? Maybe you could feel like, "Oh, I'm missing out if I don't watch that or don't listen to that because I'm trying to honor God." Maybe you feel like you're missing out if you don't treat people a certain way or relate to others in a certain way. Where do you feel like maybe you're missing out in your work life or your school life with your peers or how you handle money, sex, or power? You see, the irony is that in all of our temptations to reject God's rule so that we might rule ourselves, what actually happens is we end up submitting to the evil and painful rule of another, the serpent king who deceived our parents in Eden. But the story isn't over. In Genesis 3:15, against the backdrop of God's judgment of Adam and Eve and the curse of the serpent, a ray of hope shined forth. God declared this, "And I will cause hostility between you and the woman," he's speaking to the serpent, "because your offspring and her offspring, he will strike your head and you will strike his heel." So sin hardened the hearts of God's people and the soil of God's creation. But God promised that one day a serpent-crushing king would rescue God's people and renew God's creation, though the victor would be wounded in the process. But to borrow from the poetry of Tupac Shakur, a rose began to emerge through the crack in the concrete. Satan here, he shows Jesus all of the kingdoms of the world, offering them to Jesus if he will worship Satan. Jesus can have all the kingdoms without the cross. The kingdoms are Satan's to offer at this point because Adam and Eve, and each one of us too, have turned from God's good rule to trusting sin and the enemy's deception more than we trust God and his word. So Satan is offering Jesus a spiritual shortcut. "You love these people so much, Jesus? Well, I'll give them to you. And my way doesn't require for you to go to the cross." You know, anytime Satan tempts you with a shortcut from God the Father's plan, don't take it. Why not? Because spiritual shortcuts always take too long and cost too much. The ends don't justify the means. In this case, had Jesus taken the shortcut, yes, he would have avoided the cross, but he also would have left us in our sin too, because we cannot redeem ourselves. As author Vic Pence once said, "Nothing fails quite so completely as success without God." Jesus responds to the temptation with God's word from Deuteronomy chapter 6, 13, and says, you must worship the Lord your God and serve only him. You see, the first Adam trusted the devil more than God the Father over a piece of fruit. The second Adam, Jesus, won't make God second place even for all the kingdoms of the world. Jesus passed the test that Adam and Eve failed, and that each one of us will fail as well apart from Christ at work in us. You see, above all else, our worship is to be reserved only for the Lord and to serve him only. And it's here where we see that our worship is a form of spiritual warfare. Worship is everything we do in life that is done out of a motivation that keeps God as number one in our lives. It's the worship in the songs that we sing, in the prayers that we pray, the offerings that we give. But it goes beyond that. Our worship goes into the way that we love others because of how God loved us. The things that we now care about because God cares about them. And the list goes on. Now, earlier, I told us the bad news, the depressing news, that even Jesus compared Satan to a strong man. But now I want you to see the good news. In that exact same place where Jesus is speaking, he described himself as the stronger man. Here's how Jesus said it in Matthew 12, verse 28. But if I'm casting out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has arrived among you. For who is powerful enough to enter into the house of a strong man and plunder his goods? Only someone even stronger. Someone who would tie him up and then plunder his house. You see, it's in the wilderness. And by resisting the devil's temptations, and then ultimately at the cross and the resurrection, that Jesus reveals that he is the stronger man. The serpent-crushing king has come. Yes, as God foretold all the way back in Genesis, Jesus would be wounded in the process, but he would also be the victor for us and for our salvation. Now make no mistake, Satan is an opportunist and will continue to look for ways beyond the wilderness to defeat Jesus. In fact, in Luke's recounting of Jesus' time in the wilderness, it ends with this statement. In Luke chapter 4, verse 13, when the devil had finished tempting Jesus, he left him until the next opportunity came. You see, the enemy is an opportunist. And we can see some of these other times, including whenever Peter tries to discourage Jesus from going to the cross, and Jesus replies to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You're a stumbling block to me, for you do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." Or when Jesus is actually on the cross and the passersby say in Matthew 27, verse 40, if you are the Son of God, save yourself and come down from the cross. Can't you just hear in their words the echo of the devil and his words as he used the exact same phrase in the first two temptations of Christ? If you are the Son of God. But Jesus didn't come to save himself from the cross. He came to save us through the cross. And so now, that means Christ now calls, invites people of every tribe, tongue, and nation to enter into the kingdom of God by repenting of our sin and believing in the good news of Jesus. And as we do that, our sins are forgiven. We're redeemed of the cross. We're restored to God's good purposes for us. And we are now no longer defenseless against Satan's schemes. Because if you are in Christ, he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. You see, on the cross, the serpent struck Christ's heel for a period of time, but it is also where Christ crushed the serpent's head for all time. The third thing we see is this, that first, we can be humble. Second, we can be hopeful. And third, we can be helpful. Jesus wants you to join him in his serpent crushing work. Now, I know that not all of you who are listening are Christians. Some are investigating faith. Maybe a friend invited you to join us. And I'm so excited and glad that you are here with us. But I want to speak specifically to those of you who would say that you're a Christian, just for a moment. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, it says, "But the Son of God came to destroy the works of the devil." So for Christians, the story does not end there, because Jesus is the serpent-crushing king, yes, but he has done so that you might now take your place and become part of his kingdom of serpent crushers. In fact, after his time in the wilderness, the next thing Jesus did was he began to teach and call people to follow him as his disciples. And that clearly shows that we're not just sideline observers in all of this, but Jesus is inviting us to become participants. For a Christian, your hope should not simply be for the enemy to not defeat you. That's good, and that's certainly a positive thing, and that's step one. But the goal goes further. It should be for you to become part of crushing the enemy by God's power at work in you. So now, we not only want to win the defensive struggle against temptation, but we want to take part in the offensive attack against the kingdom of darkness. In fact, here's how the Bible says it in Romans chapter 16, verses 19 and 20. It says, "But everyone knows that you are obedient to the Lord." He's speaking to Christians. "This makes me very happy. I want you to be wise in doing right and to stay innocent of any wrong." And here's the verse. "The God of peace will soon crush Satan underneath your feet." That verse blows me away. That God wants to be so at work in your life and my life as well, that his power will allow you and allow me, God's work in us, will allow us to crush Satan underneath our feet because of what Christ has done. Now, we're not trusting in our own strength, because that would make us prideful. And the whole first point was that we need to be humble. We're not trusting in our own strength. We're trusting in what Christ has done for us. God allows tests to come into our life to build our faith and reliance upon him. And then, and this is a key thing that I believe God put in my heart to share with you, tested people become dangerous people to the kingdom of darkness. God wants you to be dangerous to the kingdom of darkness. God is calling for us to be humble, to be hopeful, and to be helpful. We can stay humble because we know that we would lose the battle on our own, but we can stay hopeful because we know that we are not in the battle alone. And we can become helpful when we do our part to help others in their battle against the kingdom of darkness. You see, we're now not just here to survive life on earth and make it to heaven. We're here to be part of bringing God's kingdom to earth as it is in heaven, just as Jesus taught his followers to pray. In other words, you were made to function in concert and cadence with Christ. We do that each time we choose to abide in him, to dwell, to align our thoughts, our choices, our perspectives with God's thoughts and choices and perspectives revealed in his word. We do that each time we take on the attitude of Christ, who looked not only to his own interests, but to the interests of others, including me and you. We do that each time we pray as Jesus taught us in Matthew 6, verse 13, "And do not let us yield to temptation, but rescue us or deliver us from the evil one." It means connecting with Christ and seeking to honor him in everything you do, to worship and serve God only, all the time, everywhere, every day of the week, and every moment of the day. God doesn't want just weekend visits with his kids. He wants full custody. And when that happens, we will encounter the strong man, but we no longer have to be afraid, because we know the one who is stronger is on our side and in the battle with us. Yes, we will face temptation, but when we turn to Christ and the Holy Spirit during those times and God's word, we can flee temptation and resist the devil, who will then flee from us, as we learned last week. And when those times come, may we remember that temptations do not last forever, but the rewards of obedience do. And at the end of the day, whatever temptation is before us, we must remember that the enemy is a liar. Let me close with one of the stanzas of the song we sang earlier, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God," because Martin Luther, who wrote this, packed a lot of truth into those lyrics. He wrote this, "And though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear. We will not fear. For God hath willed his truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word shall fell him." Let's pray. God, even now, we ask that you would help us to humble ourselves before you. Let me ask you, as I've been asking myself in preparation for this time, where do you need to humble yourself? Where have you become a little too self-centered? You need to repent of pride, of arrogance. Maybe you've fallen into a pattern of living in repeated sin, knowing that it's wrong. Will you humble yourself before God now and ask for his heartfelt forgiveness? The good news is in 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, it says, if we claim that we have no sin, we're only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. But if we confess our sins to God, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Maybe you've never given your life to Christ. You can do that right now. You can say, God, I'm giving you my life. I trust you now more than anything else. I want to trust your word. Jesus, thank you for coming and going to the cross for me. Would you apply the benefits of the cross to me? Would you cover my sin? And would you make me right with you and with God the Father? And would you give me your Holy Spirit? Change me from the inside out that I desire to do what is right, to know you and follow you all the days of my life. Give me the joy of being made right with you, God, because of what Christ has done. I commit myself to you in Jesus' name, amen. Hey, listen, if you prayed that, I want to welcome you into the family and into the kingdom of God. In fact, your next step would be to email in and let us know so that we can follow up with you. The email's there on your screen. Let's continue to pray. Others of us, we need to be hopeful. Take a moment and let hope rise in your heart, knowing that whatever battle you're facing, you're not in the battle alone. Christ, the serpent-crushing king, has come for you and for me too, to bind the strong man so that we can live in the freedom of knowing the goodness of God and enjoying him all the days of our life and for eternity too. Let that hope kind of rise up in you, that you're not alone, you're not abandoned. And let that lead you to worship. God, we thank you that we are not left on our own. Thank you, God, that the right man is on our side, the man of your own choosing. We honor you for that. And lastly, as we pray, choose this week to be helpful. God's plan is to crush Satan underneath our feet. Where can you take your place and do your part to stand against the lies of the enemy, the unrighteousness, the injustices, the lostness, the evil of the kingdom of darkness that keeps people imprisoned? This week, how can you look out not only for your own interests, but for the interests of others? How can you love your neighbors as yourself? How can you choose to be a person of compassion? to undo the work of the enemy in someone's life, to be an encourager, as we spoke about in our last series, to be a person of prayer, praying because you know we're in a spiritual battle. In fact, even now, I'm going to ask God to bring someone to mind, to your mind, for you to pray for. Father, we want to be humble and hopeful and helpful. God, right now, I pray for everyone who's listening. Who can they pray for this week? Bring someone to mind in their life. Might be a family member, might be a neighbor, a coworker, might be a classmate. Who is it, God, for each one of us that you're calling us to pray for them? And then now, how can we serve in your kingdom this week? I want to encourage you to pray for whoever's coming to mind right now for you. Father, may your word and your spirit now let us not yield to temptation, but deliver us from evil and the evil one. May we stay humble and hopeful and helpful as we live in the grace and power of your kingdom this week and always. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, everybody.
If we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. We're not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. Ask who that may be. Christ Jesus, it is He. Lord Sabaoth is made. From age to age the same. And He has won the
Thank you for being with us today. If you're someone who made a decision to follow Christ at any point during our service or would like to know more about what it means to follow Christ, let us know so we can have a pastor follow up with you. You can email us at the address below or go to our webpage. And now let me close with this benediction from Romans 1:7. Grace and peace to you from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you. See you next week.